go to the Word of the Lord. There's more at Westmoreland. Amen. So tonight we're talking about the names of God. And we are coming tonight to Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. And so there are 300 names of God. Jehovah-Jireh means God, my provider. Jehovah-Makadesh, last week, the Lord, my sanctifier. And when you're struggling with evil thoughts, when you're struggling with habits, when you're struggling with porn on the internet, when you're struggling with issues, know that you can't do it on your own. But Jehovah Makadesh can sanctify you and empower you to live a godly life. God will never ask you to do anything He will not empower you to do for Him. Amen. So if He says walk on the water, guess what you can do? Amen. If He says you can have pure thoughts, guess what you can have? Amen. If He says that you can, if He says pay your tithe, guess what He'll provide you the ability to do? Pay the tithe. Amen. So tonight we're looking at Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. And we find this in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. And I'm just going to read the scripture and explain to you what we're looking at. And then I want you to look at John 16 and 33. And so both of those scriptures we'll go to tonight. Judges chapter 6, verse 22, and then John chapter 16. So if you're at Judges chapter 6, would you say amen tonight? When Gideon perceived that he was talking to an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee." Where else have we heard that? We've heard that in the book of John. We're getting to read that. "Peace be unto thee." Say that with me. "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Say that with me. Jehovah Shalom. And it unto this day. Somebody say, even to this day. I love, you know, that's a good sermon series. Every time in the Bible where it says unto this day, find everywhere in the Bible it says unto this day. And most of those statements, you'll find God still working unto this day. Amen. And thank God He is on the throne. Father, tonight, anoint Your servant to preach the word. We thank You that You are our peace in the midst of the storm. Anoint Your servant to preach and we'll give You the praise. And everybody said amen. Oh, I didn't read John 16:33, did I? Before you're seated, go to John 16:33 and then I'll let you be seated real quick. John 16:33, if you're there, say amen. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have" what? "In the world you shall have" what? "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These things have I spoken, that you might have peace." You may be seated. Tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight. And don't forget, Trunk or Treat, Saturday, October the 28th, from 5 to 7. Impact team, we're going to meet right after the service tonight so we can begin to solidify our plans for Trunk or Treat. I've got the banners ready, and they're going to look really good sitting out on the road. And so we're going to be opening our church up and reaching out to our community and believing the Lord that this parking lot will be full, and we're going to have some strategies in place to get contact information. And the whole goal of Trunk or Treat is to touch people through that avenue and to be a witness, and that if they ever need a church, they'll know where to come. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. So I'm going to give you I want you to finish the sentence. This is a little game we're going to play. I want you to finish the sentence. Ready? Here's sentence number one. I'm ready to throw in the check. Number two. I'm just a bundle of. Y'all having babies out there? You millennials, are y'all having babies out here? No, a bundle of. No. Praise God. I don't need to preach tonight. No, a bundle of nerves. Okay. All right. I'm at my wits. And some people have said, here's the last one. I'm resigning from the human. Now, have you ever heard somebody make those statements? Come on, raise your hand. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever made any of those statements? Come on, be honest with me tonight. Have you ever said, I'm at my wits? Have you ever said, I'm ready to throw in the... In fact, just taking a survey, it seems like you're the most uptight audience I've seen in a long time. I have discovered, Pastor Jerry, that even the upright can get uptight. Because we all are going through trials and tests, situations, unemployment, health care, Korea, the news, fake news, all of this stuff. And we're just living in this world. So please understand that it's in times like this that God reveals himself. And in a unique way, his name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Now, if we go to book of Judges chapter 6, and I just read of scripture, but this is a story. And I don't have time to go. I wish I could take this message and really go into the life of Gideon. And you remember Gideon in the Old Testament? He was one of the judges of Israel, one of the leaders of Israel. You remember God had called Israel out of Egypt? Say amen. And God had established them as a nation. And when they got settled down in the land, they had judges, not kings, not presidents, but spiritual leaders who we call judges. Different ones would arise kind of as a de facto leader because they would drift away from the Lord and the enemy would encroach. And so in those dark times, God would raise up a leader. And so here is a dark time. Everything, when we read Judges chapter 6, it's a dark, depressed, and dismal time. Sound familiar? A moment when the nation was in defeat and retreat. Morale was low. The enemy was gaining ground, stealing their crops, taking their wealth. The people of God were on the retreat and the devil was on the gain. Revival was needed. Something had to be done. It was a morass. It was a tough, depressing, dark time when everything was out of kilter. Nothing went right. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was hitting at an all-time low and people were depressed, gloom, despair, and agony on them. Something had to be done. And in that moment, God found a man. In fact, he was a young man. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. He found a young man. His name was Gideon. And I don't have time to hear Gideon. He himself is in this nation, in this time. Things are not right. There's depression, economic depression, spiritual depression. People were dying. And yet in that moment, the Lord reveals himself to Gideon. And go to Judges chapter 6, verse 22. And the Bible says that when the angel of the Lord revealed himself to Gideon, that he became afraid. He realized, man, I'm talking with God. I'm talking with an angel of the Lord. And by the way, for those of you who are not really don't understand, in this instance, many times when it talks about an angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's really referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the word angel means a messenger. And so many times Jesus Christ is referred to as an angel or the angel of the Lord. And we know that this was the Lord himself. And look at Judges chapter 6, verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Oh Lord, alas, I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And Gideon was afraid. Gideon had fear. Things were going wrong. God was saying, "I'm about to do something." But Gideon's like, "Oh Lord, I can't do this." And go to verse 23, Judges chapter 6, verse 23. If you're there, say amen. "But the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shall not die." So put yourself in Gideon's feet. Everything is going wrong. Nation going down. His brothers and sisters are in idolatry, and we're supposed to be the people of God. We're supposed to be a victorious. God had told us we would chase our enemies. One would chase 1,000. Amen. We're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed going in, and blessed coming out. But none of that was happening. And now an angel has appeared to Gideon and said, I'm going to do something about it. And Gideon's like, oh my goodness. Now let me just say this. If a manifestation of God were to hit this place, we'd all be afraid. I'm talking about of God. And we should be. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. If God were to manifest himself in all of his holiness, we'd all be on our face. And we'd all say like Isaiah, I'm undone. Woe is me. But verse 23, Judges chapter 6, verse 23. But at that moment, the Lord said, peace unto thee. Fear not. You think you're going to die. Let me bring it a little closer. You think it's all over. I failed. Bankruptcy. Divorce. Doctor's report. You think it's over. But turn around and tell somebody it ain't over. Amen. You're not going to die. On the opposite. This is a new beginning. Amen. Things look rough. But Gideon, I'm about to use you and change things. Looks like the enemy is winning, but I'm about to show up and show off. Don't worry, Gideon. Don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. Get ready. Get ready. I'm going to be the God of the turnaround. It stops now, and I'm showing up, and I'm going to use you, and you're going to touch this world, and you're going to touch people, and I'm going to bless you and minister through you, and I'm going to turn this thing around. Isn't it time for a turnaround in our country? Isn't it time for a turnaround in your life? I'm telling you, God's showing up tonight. And he's healing sick bodies. Hallelujah. He's doing things at Westmoreland Church. I want you to give the Lord a praise here tonight. I said, peace be unto you. I want to strike out and run that aisle tonight. Brother Baker, get one camera ready. Let it be the shouting camera. Let it be the camera that you can twirl that thing back and forth, because I feel a run coming on. Somebody say amen. Peace be unto you. God's here. The Lord is in the house. Don't listen to fake news. Don't listen to somebody running their negative lips. Start saying God is here and he's going to turn it around. Hallelujah. Peace be unto you. Revival unto you. Healing unto you. Now go to the next scripture. Judges 6, 24. And it hit Gideon like it's hitting some of you tonight. And Gideon said, I'm just going to make this an altar. And there unto the Lord. And he said the name of this altar, he called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Somebody say Jehovah Shalom. As it is unto this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, Gideon went on. And God used him mightily. And that's another sermon I preached, a few good men. He had 300 men and they defeated the Midianites. And Gideon became a mighty leader. And it all started at an altar. And it all starts with sacrifice. It all starts with you. I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And Jehovah Shalom shows up and says, I'm going to be peace. Jehovah Shalom. Somebody say amen tonight. That's Gideon in the Old Testament. But I want to shift this message to the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is about to die. In John chapter 16, we're in the upper room discourses where he's preparing his disciples. And you would think that Jesus himself would be, I'm getting ready to die, you know, and all of y'all are getting ready to go through a tough time. But look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Go to John chapter 16, verse 33. We actually read here, "These things have I spoken to you that you might have what?" Amen. How in the world, and by the way, this is one of the this is the third "be of good cheer" statement in the Bible. That's another series of messages. Be of good cheer. And I've told you about that. I've preached on that, but I haven't preached on this one. So I'm going to tie this in with you tonight. You see, Jesus was, you would think that as Jesus was getting ready to die, but yet he was getting his disciples ready to live, knowing that their world would come crashing down as he would be lifted up. He wanted them to know ahead of time that they can be of good cheer, because just when it seems like they were all down to nothing, God was really just beginning to be up to something. Just when they were about to see the things that would rock their world, he would roll the stone away. That's why he could say to them when they were facing the cross, facing the suffering, facing the confusion, that's why he could say, "Be of good cheer," because he was going to get up out of the grave. You see, we're living in a time of worry. How many of you are dealing with some worry in your life? How many of you are at your wits, right? How many of you are thinking about resigning from the human? Come on now. You say, "Well, I'm dealing with a lot of worry." And how many of you say the reason is that I'm dealing with a lot of worry is not only because of the world, but because of the person sitting behind me? No, don't do that. The truth of the matter is that the average person is worried. Here's a biography. I love to read biographies. I was telling somebody today, I read a biography of Elizabeth Smart. Anybody remember Elizabeth Smart? Who was she, Sister Trees? Just tell us. Right. As a sexual slave. And she wrote a biography. I said, "I've got to read how this woman made it through that." And she was in the, and she writes in that book how she was, the man came into the house in the middle of the night, literally stole her from her bedroom. Nobody saw, nobody heard, took her up into the mountains. See, they live in the Utah, where, like in Wilson, it's all flat. And Utah, she literally, you can't find people up on those mountains. And I read that book, and it was a hard book to read, very hard to read. And at times I thought, "I can't read this book." And then I'm like, "Ricky, you can't read this book." And she actually lived this book. But when I got to the last chapter, her mother told her, "Elizabeth, you need to forgive and forget. That's how you're going to have victory over that man." She said, "I made up in my mind I was going to forgive him. He was not going to ruin my life. And I was going to forget all of that. And I'm moving on with my life." And today she's healthy and married and has children. And I'll tell you what, they don't know the Lord. They're Mormons. But I'm going to tell you, something got a hold of her life. Amen. How did I get off on that? But anyway, biographies. Most biographies are this: worry, hurry, and bury. I heard about a Sunday school child who was riding a bus back home when they had given every one of them a verse of scripture. Her verse of scripture was Mark 11, verse 22, which says, "Have faith in God." The little girl got off the bus at the house, and when she got off, there was a big gust of wind, and her piece of paper blew away. They had written on it, "Have faith in God." And when the wind blew her piece of paper away, she told her mother, she says, "Mommy, my faith in God just blew away." Can I tell you, sometimes our faith in God gets blown away, doesn't it? When the winds a contrary blow against us. But Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your faith in God might not blow away." And I want to give you three things tonight. Number one, the source of peace. The source of peace. Let's look at John 16, 33. Look at it one more time. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In other words, the source of peace, "these things have I spoken." Are y'all still awake out there? The source of our peace is what he's already told us. Amen. He said, I've spoken. And when you're going to the doctor and he says you're not healed, God's already spoken, I'm healed. Amen. That's the source of my peace. Now, I know I'm going to have to work out some things, and I know one day he's going to take me home, but I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Over and over, we have the Word of God. That ties in with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The source of peace is his Word. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. By the way, if your mind is stayed upon people, you're not going to have perfect peace. I promise you. Come on now. Well, you remember what she said to me back in 2004 after the PM service? I'm still thinking about that. Well, you're not going to have perfect peace. You got to get over it. Amen. Got to be under the blood. Got to be gone. Amen. No need to hang on to it. Well, you say, Brother Ricky, you don't know. You're just a preacher. You don't know. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I had one lady right out here in this parking lot. And, it was over here. She said, some people said, and it was a real good message that day. And people was like, Brother Ricky, man, Lord just really used you. Brother Ricky, man, that was an awesome message. And this lady said, well, I would tell you how good you were, but I won't make your head swell. Turned around and walked off. And then out in the parking lot, she told somebody, got back to me. She told somebody, she said, our pastor, he's a good man, but he puts his foot in his mouth. And I said, Lord Jesus. And she told that in front of some new people. And some of the new people pulled her to the side and said, I don't appreciate the way you talked about our pastor. Oh, I'm about to, what happened to the peace? Amen. Peace. Now, I'm telling you, preachers, I work at Best Buy, and I'm telling you, between other employees trying to steal my customers, between managers who you tell them you've sold something, well, did you add the protection on it? No, I didn't. I wasn't able to. Well, between cousins that mess things up in your family, I'm just telling, Brother Doug, you probably got employees that, man, I'm telling you, you are like a pastor, brother. As an employer, your employees give you a lot of drama. I know they do. I know they do. It's just the way it is. So, but keep your mind on the Lord. Amen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is that know who you are. Know he's got a promise over your life. Know you're going to get through this, and don't lose your peace. Amen. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Somebody put it like this. Here are the Bible emergency numbers. When you're facing danger, call Psalms 91. When you feel God is far from you, read Psalm 139. When you don't feel loved, call on emergency Romans 8:38. When you have sinned, call emergency 1 John 1:8-9. And you might not be familiar with these scriptures, but it says in 1 John 1:8-9, we confess our sins, he will forgive us. When people have failed you, call on Psalm 27. When your faith needs encouraging, read Hebrews 11. When you're scared, call on Psalm 23. When you're worried, call on Matthew chapter 6. When you're hurt, call on Colossians 3:12-17. When you feel no one is on your side, Romans 8:31-39. When you are suffering, call Romans 8:18-30. I should tell you these, but I don't have time. When you are failing, call Psalms 121. When you need courage, call on Joshua chapter 1. When you are in need, call on Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need. Amen. When you are hated because of your faith, call on John chapter chapter 15. When you're losing hope, call on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When you don't understand what God is doing, just call on Isaiah 55. I'm here to tell you these are things, and I can give you these scriptures if you'd like them, but these are things He has already said, and therefore He is the source of peace. What He's already said. Somebody give Him a hand of praise here tonight. The source of peace. Do you know what we need to do with all of our cares? We need to turn them into prayers. Because if anything is worth worrying about, it is worth praying about. And if it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about. If a care is too small to be made into prayer, it is too small to be carried as a burden. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Somebody say amen. That's the source of peace. Number two, let's talk about the place of peace. Because if you go back to John chapter 16 and verse 33, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you." That's the source, what He's already said. But notice He said, "I've already told you that in this world," that's the place of peace. He didn't say that in heaven you're going to have peace, because we know we're going to have peace there. Oh, praise God. There's that scripture in Isaiah that says, "None shall hurt or offend in my holy mountain." Praise God. In the book of Isaiah, it says, it's either Isaiah or Ezekiel, it says, "We are going to a place where the wicked cease their troubling and the weary are at rest." Amen. Now, don't the wicked trouble us now? When I see Miley Cyrus up there twerking, I mean, give me a break, people. I don't like that. Troubles me, and I don't want to see teenagers doing that. It's a bad influence. Amen. I get troubled when I turn on fake news and they have an agenda-driven story that conjures up lies and spoons feed it to people, and they think it's the gospel truth because Dan Rather said it. I'd rather hear the Lord. Amen. Nothing against Dan Rather or anybody, as long as they just tell it like it is and don't contort it. Amen. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world. But notice He said, go back to John. "These things have I spoken to you that you might have peace, for in this world," right, "that in me," notice the place, "in this world or in me." Now, we're in the world, but not of it. Amen. But we have an advantage because we're not just in the world, we're in Him. Amen. Now, if you'll stay in Him, you're going to have peace. Can you say amen? If you're in Christ, you can have peace. Somebody said it like this: peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus in the midst of those problems. The reason why most people in life never find peace is because they're looking for it. Now, notice what I said. The reason some people can't find peace is because they're looking for peace. You will never find peace looking for peace. You will only find peace when you build an altar and call it Jehovah Shalom. You'll only find peace when you're looking for Jesus. John Wesley said, "When I look to Jesus, the dove of peace flew into my soul. But when I looked at the dove of peace, then it flew away." So in other words, don't keep your eyes on the dove of peace. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Corrie Ten Boom, who went to a Nazi concentration camp because her family hid the Jews in World War II. She said, and she got treated terrible. Her sister died. Her family died. But she says, "When I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I'm at rest." Amen. Everybody is looking for peace. And most people are looking for peace, but in the wrong place. Some people are trying to find peace in pills. Yeah, I was talking to a young man at work. And I have to be careful because some of them may be watching. Isn't that a good thing? When I go to work and they say, "I saw you preaching on Facebook." Isn't that great? that our church is reaching. Can you imagine us sitting here and three employees at some job are looking and listening to this service? Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Brother Baker. Let's give Brother Baker a big hand. Amen. Give him a high five back there. Somebody give him $20. I'll give you $20. Somebody give him some money. Just tell him the labor is worthy of his hire. Amen. Brother Baker, you want a little? Somebody's going to give you $20 to let you go out to eat or something. If nobody does it, I will. In fact, I'll add to it. Amen. Because, man, you can't put a dollar tag on that. But a young man at Best Buy was all depressed. Now, he's very handsome. He's 22 years old. And he looks like he's so depressed. And I don't have time to go into it. But the reason he's depressed is because him and his girlfriend have broke up. And I'm like, well, how long have y'all been knowing each other or going together? And I thought he was going to say 5 years, 2 years. You know, high school sweethearts, because this was major depression here. He said 6 months. Now, we can chuckle at that, but he was really hurt about it. He was really hurt about it. And so I began to minister to him and talk to him and tell him that, you know, relationships cannot be counted on, but only one, and that's the Lord. And I feel like the Lord brought me into your life to let you know the real source of peace, and I'll be praying for you and all of that. But that's what people are looking for, peace. And listen to this. He went to the doctor and they put him on medication. I'm like, you're kidding me. Because all that medication does is just, it's the same as the alcoholic. Now, if you're on medication and need medication, now that's one thing. But I'm afraid that sometimes we can look, even Christians, you know, we've gone from one extreme to the other. Back in the early days of Pentecost, it was a sin to go to the doctor. And now it's a sin if you tell people not to go to the doctor. I mean, and I'm saying if you have a true medical need, yes, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And Luke was a doctor. God is all about doctors. Where does the wisdom come from? Those doctors and those surgeons, did you know it was Christianity that gave us the modern day hospital? All you hear about as Christians is that we were the crusaders and invaded the Holy Land and all of that. That's fake news, okay? That's fake History Channel. Don't watch the History Channel about religion because it's fake, fake, fake. Listen to me. It's not even accurate. It was Christianity that's the reason this world has any good in it at all. Amen. And I don't apologize for that. But he was on medication. Some people are looking for pills. But all that medication does is just desensitize you. It's like alcoholism. The reason the person will go to the bar, they drink because they forget about their troubles. But when they wake up the next morning, guess what? The troubles are still there. Amen. We can't find peace in a bottle. We can't find peace in a relationship. We can't find peace in the stock market going up because anything that goes up must. Listen, there's the only real peace that I have in my life. Dear Lord, it's in you. If my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. My peace is built on the rock. I'm not just in the world. I'm in Him. Glory to God. What have I to dread? And what have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I am safe and secure. Leaning. I have the peace of God. Somebody give Him praise for the source of peace and the place of peace. That was a good time for the kids to come back in. Good time to run. Brother Baker, get that camera ready. Amen. Hallelujah. That's one thing about Westmoreland. You're going to have church when you come. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. The kids are back in, so we'll see how the peace holds up now. Amen. I've talked to you about the place of peace in Him. I've talked to you about the source of peace. These things have I written, what He's already spoken in His Word. In His Word and in Him. Let me close tonight with the promise of peace. Go back to John 16:33, the promise of peace. These things have I spoken. That's the source of peace. What he's already said. He's already said you're healed. He's already said you're delivered. He's already said you're blessed going in, coming out. You're blessed and highly favored. So that's the source of peace. And the place of peace is in me. Not so much in the world, but in me. But now let's talk about the promise of peace. It says here, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Read those last lines. I have. Now you read it fast, you might miss it. He didn't say, I might overcome. He didn't say, I'm going to give it my best shot. He didn't say, I'll just see what unfolds. He said, I have already overcome the world. Praise God. You see, Jesus was on the verge of being crucified. He was on the verge for being whipped and stripped and beaten and the crown of thorns and the friends forsaking him. But he didn't say, at any indication, he didn't say, I'm going to give it my best shot and we'll see how things go the next 30. He said, no, sir, I have already defeated this. Yes, I'm going to have to go to the cross. But let me tell you guys, on that other side of that cross is an empty tomb. It's not a maybe. It's a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. I have already overcome. Praise God. I have already prepared a mansion for you in glory. Young people, he has already provided a spouse for you. If you'll wait on the Lord and not just go to every relationship and get your heart broken. Let me tell you, for Westmoreland Church, he has already prepared new property, buildings, fellowship, Royal Ranger Ford. It's already there. I see the stakes in the ground and I want to shout every time I drive. I'm going to tell you, when I drove up in the parking lot, I don't know if it did for you what it did for me. When I drove up in the park, I was kind of sleepy that morning. I don't know. Well, I think it was like Sunday morning. They cut on the lights here and I'm driving across town and I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. I'm not a morning person. I'm just not a morning person. I'm a night person. I'm a third shift man. Amen. I'm in the night shift. But in the morning, I remember I drove up on the parking lot and it was kind of dead and sleepy and I'm about half sleepy. And I remember I came in and cut on the lights and then I drive over here to this first park and I'll pray for about 30 minutes because I like to just spend my first 30 hour on the first day of the week. I like to spend in prayer. So I just pulled up and I was like, what in the world is that? And I saw those stakes in the ground. Boy, I got awake. I said, whoa, buddy, something's up. I'm telling you, God's on the move. He said, I have already provided. Praise God, somebody. Amen. God's already done some mighty things. Praise God. He says, I have overcome the world. Amen. Not I'm going to overcome. Not we're going to grow, but we're growing now. Amen. That's the promise. I have it now. Now, I might not see the fulfillment yet, but it's there. Joshua, put your foot. Everywhere your foot goes, it's yours. Amen. And therefore, I can have peace. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to. I remember one time I would go to revival meetings and I was praying for the right woman, asking God to give me a spouse that would be in ministry with me. And I would go to revivals and I would praise God and lift my hands and I'd turn around and look, see who was that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. but I'm like, you know, and I would just, you know, I was very picky and I dated a couple of young ladies and one day Brother Bird, he said, Brother Ricky, he said, are you called to preach? I said, yes, I'm called to preach. He said, it's important who you marry, isn't it? I said, it is. He said, well, if you're called to preach and it's important who you're married, who you get married to, he said, and here's the words he said. He said, God is more concerned about who you marry than you are. I said, whoa, because I was pretty concerned. I was looking and praying and checking out. And here's my phone number. No, I'm just kidding. I want that radical. Amen. Not that bad. Maybe not much, but I'm not quite that bad. But I'm just here to tell you, young people, God had already prepared for me a spouse. And I'll never forget the first time I saw her. It was in a revival, and she was singing in the choir. And I did go over there and introduce myself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is Darnell back in here yet? Because she's mighty quiet. But friend, I'm just here to tell you, God said, have peace. Amen. Don't worry about food and money, and don't worry about how you're going to pay your bills, and don't worry about what's going to happen to the church. I'll tell you what's going to happen to the church. God's going to bless. He's already sent His Spirit. He's already promised. I'm on holy ground tonight. God is on the throne. Amen. 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 Somebody say amen tonight. I'm going to close by telling you about a man. His name was Spafford. We had a youth pastor. Our youth pastor was Jonathan Stafford. This name was Horatio Spafford. Was born in 1828. Brother Elam might have known him. He was a real estate baron. I'm just kidding, Brother Elam. Brother Elam said he was there in 1828 because he was in the mind of God. Amen. Praise God. But in 1828, I love you, Brother Elam. Amen. Hallelujah. He's eternal. He's just been here all the time. Amen. Isn't it good that we can have fun like this? But in 1828, he was a real estate baron. He was extremely wealthy. But he was a tremendous Christian and a close friend of Dwight L. Moody. He lived in Chicago, and during the Chicago fire, he lost his business. And in that fire, his only son was killed. Seemed like his life was like a canopy of dark clouds. His wife was under tremendous stress, so he sent her and their four daughters to England, which was where his wife was from. He sent them for a vacation. He told them he would join them 2 weeks later. He put his wife and four daughters on a ship and sent them across the ocean. As they were in sight of land on the other side, a terrible storm hit, and all four of his daughters drowned, but only his wife survived. She sent a telegram to him with these two words, "Saved alone." With the heaviest of hearts, Horatio Spafford got on another ship, made his way across to England, got his wife, got on board, and came back. And on the way back, he asked the captain, when he got to the spot of where his daughters drowned, he wanted to know. And when the captain got to the spot, he showed it to him. And history tells us, and this is a true story, that as the ship stayed there, he began to be inspired and to write a song. And here's the song that he wrote. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Would you stand with me? When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. What is it? It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Brother and sister, we know not the day that the Lord will call us or our loved ones home. And even in the darkness of death, there is a light at the grave. I'm telling you that in death there is peace. And if so in death, how much more when you got homework that's due? How much more when the bank mortgage is due? How much more when the job has ended? How much more when a spouse walks out the door? I'm here to tell you, don't go to appeal. Don't go to some other method. Don't look to people. Look to Jesus, because Horatio Spafford today, guess what? He's with all four daughters, and they're shouting
shouting on the streets of glory, and it is well with their souls. Forever and ever, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Let God be God. Amen. Would you step out of your seat and let's close in prayer tonight. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. My soul,
with my soul,
it is well,
it is well with my soul.
Lift your hands. It is well, it
Hallelujah.
Is well with my soul,
with my soul.
Oh, it
my soul.